Chapter 9. The Book. The last 2 days of March proved to be the most challenging of them all. In truth, the Legion had been extremely lucky up until this point. The forests of the Wildlands were known to be home to large numbers of owl bears, dire wolves, giant scorpion hives, and many more unknown threats. The Wildlands had proven to be less wild than expected. However, the terror bird nest they stumbled upon during the penultimate day's march showed where the endless forests got their name. The nearly 3-meter-tall birds generally hunted in packs of 10 or 12. The nest of nearly 30 presented more of a challenge than any individual party could hope to overcome. Thankfully, Legion Penitence was used to fighting in the dirt and grime of unfavorable odds and rose to the challenge. Deciding that it was safer to eradicate the nest rather than risk being stalked by its members over the remaining days, the Legion set to work. The various cohorts were spread out to encircle the nest, Godric and Tolo's group being stationed to the south where little action was expected. They were to act more as backup, should something go very wrong. Watching the Legion work instilled Godric with a sense of pride and understanding he hadn't expected. The seasoned warriors of Legion Penitence worked together like a well-oiled machine, cutting off exits and separating the birds into more easily manageable groups. The infantry herded the birds whilst the range division picked off stragglers trying to escape. Once the remainders were penned into corners and up against cliff faces, the engineering corps got to work with artillery magic and the small number of siege engines they'd brought with them. The Legion experienced only one casualty. One of the newer legionnaires wandered too close to a mother bird and her offspring. The beak of the mother snapped out, decapitating the younger soldier where he stood. Shortly, what had once appeared an overwhelming force of feathers and sharp talons was soon reduced to nothing more than a pile of burning bodies. A few of the birds were saved from the burning stack to provide food for the soldiers, Godric's stomach already rumbling at the smell of cooking terror bird. The last day of March was as uneventful as the rest, boosted by the inclusion of a spicy terror bird stew for lunch and dinner. The moment they reached their destination was obvious. After endless days of stumbling through thick forests, the trees began to thicken, making the going even tougher than before. Then, all of a sudden, the forest ended and the Legion stepped out into a clearing, a large semicircle entirely devoid of trees and shrubbery. 500 yards in diameter, the clearing was backed by a ginormous cliff face reaching up into the sky with no end in sight. Carved into the cliff face was the most ornate structure Godric had ever laid eyes on. Intricate pillars, carved statues, too many to count, fractal patterns that seemed to go on for eternity, digging deeper and deeper into the rock. The structure itself stood several hundred feet tall, with a set of gigantic steps leading up to the open entrance. 3 symbols were carved into the large stone slab over the entrance to the temple. A 4-headed leopard, with feet like a bear, a lion with the wings of an eagle, and a leviathan of the sea with gigantic pincers and square spiral patterns carved over its thickly armoured shell. This structure was ancient, but Godric was sure it could easily be thousands of years. Godric had read almost all of the old epics, tales from before they had many written records. There had been no mention of this structure in any of them, which, considering its obvious age and the effort that had gone into its construction, was odd. The three symbols bothered Godric, however. Though he had never seen them before, their descriptions, something about them, nagged at his mind. The Legion scouts secured the perimeter of the clearing as Astaris, the primus of Legion penitents, and the emissary made their way into the temple's gigantic entrance. The engineering corps was tasked with setting up siege defences inside the temple itself. The mystery of what Legion penitents had been marching towards for weeks was finally about to be answered. Hopefully. Inside the temple, a grand entrance hall continued the strange patterns and carvings Godric had seen on the outside. He could have sworn the fractal patterns printed on the walls were infused with some primal magic, drawing him deeper into the dark chambers. Moving through the hall, it was impossible to count the number of items and artifacts hung on the walls or stowed in alcoves. How had this place not been ransacked centuries ago? Just a handful of the riches in this place would have set him up for life. Tolo's heavy breathing next to him told him that his faithful servant was likely thinking the same thing. Eventually, they exited the entrance hall into a room, if possible, even grander than the last. The size of a cathedral, what must have been the main chamber, belied comprehension. Its roof must have reached almost to the summit of the cliff they were inside. The wonderful and sometimes eerie carvings covering the walls looked like they would have taken lifetimes to sculpt. Great stone archways stood at intervals, both holding up the roof and guiding the eye to a plinth in the centre of the awe-inspiring room. Three round stone plates, each smaller than the last, rested on top of one another to create a raised platform. On top of the last plate, a lectern sat. Compared to the rest of the room, the lectern was almost plain, carved from a dark wood and with no discernible patterns or carvings on it. The strange object looked utterly out of place. Resting atop the lectern was an unremarkable, hard-backed leather book. Once they got closer, Godric could just make out the same three symbols from above the entrance to the temple, also stitched into the cover of the book. They didn't have long to study their surroundings before the people they were here to meet entered from an adjacent room. Had they already been here, or was there another entrance to this gigantic building? Leading a group of six beasts, Godric had no other words to describe them, was a horror not even seen in his nightmares. An 8-foot-tall minotaur. At least that's what it had once been, now emaciated and broken. He could count every rib poking through its matted fur. Slashes cut deep into its skin, long since healed, but the scars remained, stretched over every bone. As the creature approached, two sounds burned themselves into Godric's mind. A wheezing emanated from the creature's muzzle, like its lungs had been burned from the inside and had only a few breaths left in them. A mask covered the creature's nose and mouth, perhaps to help provide oxygen to the failing organs. A whirring accompanied the wheeze, obviously produced by the mechanical suit holding the broken creature upright. It was without a doubt that without this suit the animal before him would be nothing more than a pile of skin and bone on the ornate marble floor. Behind him, for Godric was now sure it was a him, the creature dragged an oversized warhammer, leaving a deep gouge in the floor as he went. Apparently, not everyone respected whatever institution or organization built this place. Around him, whispers sprung up.
That's Fulcrum!
Why are we meeting Fulcrum? He's the enemy!
Was he come to surrender? Did we win?
Fulcrum? Why was Legion Penitens bringing an emissary to bargain with Fulcrum? Surely one of the larger legions would have been given that mission. Breaking through the whispering and silencing the giant room with one word, Fulcrum spoke.
Asandrides.
Asandrides? That was the name of the Ascendancy King, the leader of the revolution that overthrew the sovereignty back when his father was their strategist. The emissary that had hidden away for their entire journey here finally stepped forward.
Fulcrum.
The sickly Minotaur peered down at the emissary, sizing him up with his yellow, jaundiced eyes. The emissary and the Minotaur remained motionless, staring into each other's eyes as if conducting a fierce battle of wills. It was the emissary that broke first, lowering his gaze and bowing to Fulcrum.
A king bows. A kingdom bows.
A king? He was no emissary. Very few knew what the king of the Ascendancy looked like. His image was not widely distributed. The emissary did indeed look about the right age to be Asandrides, the fabled leader of the Ascendant's revolution.
Begin the ritual.
King Asandrides motioned towards a gathering of robed mages. Fulcrum joined the king on the plinth, the whirring of his mechanical exoskeleton punctuating every step. Standing next to each other, the size differential could truly be seen. A group of mages surrounded the circular plinth, with the two leaders standing in the centre. In unison, Fulcrum and Asandrides each reached out a hand and placed it on the lectern holding the leather-bound book. The mages had begun to chant, low at first but getting louder and louder as they slowly moved into a tighter and tighter circle. With a look of fear at what he was about to do, the king spoke.
I, King Asandrides, sit on the throne of the sovereignty, willingly handed to me by Agumon, the sovereign before me. I do now willingly pass the throne to Fulcrum, the sovereign after me.
What was going on? The king of the Ascendancy, the revolution that took down the millennia-old sovereign empire, was surrendering to this nightmare. Why?
To him, I have taught all I know. To him, I give all the strength I once had. To him...
As the king spoke the words of what must have been some kind of coronation ritual, shouts of alert, then screams of fear and pain could be heard from outside.
Don't let them through!
They're casting something!
Suddenly, a small black ring appeared atop the plinth, right next to the chanting king and triumphant-looking fulcrum. The ring grew and grew, expelling a dark mist as it did so. Within a second, the ring had grown several feet in diameter, and it continued until, just before reaching what must have been its zenith, a bright glow erupted from its circumference. And then, all hell broke loose. Everything was utterly silent for just a second, until the glowing ring touched one of the fluttering pages of the book, blown open by the mist flowing out of the growing disk. It was as if a lightning storm had erupted inside the temple. Shards of energy arced out from the bisecting book, and what Godric and everyone else had realized too late was a dimensional portal. Members of the Legion were struck down where they stood as beams of pure energy burned holes straight through their chests. The pages of the book fluttered more and more violently as the energy beams continued to arc, hitting people seemingly at random. The mages had broken their circle after the initial collision of the portal, and one of them was desperately rushing to climb the plinth. He was only a few feet from it when he suddenly disappeared and reappeared on the other side of the plinth. Confused, he tried again, dragging one of his fellow mages with him. At around the same distance away, both mages vanished again, one reappearing several yards away next to an ornate altar, and the other right next to where Godric and Tolo were stood, frozen on the spot.
"We must shut the book!"
the mage next to them yelled, obviously the one that first attempted to approach the lectern. Looking back to the lectern and the book, still shooting out deadly beams of energy, it was clear that Fulcrum and Asandrides were in no state to do anything themselves. Both had dropped to their knees and looked as if they had an immense weight pushing down on them, holding them to the floor. Looking around him, Godric could see that the beams seemed to arc outwards towards the fringes of the room, hitting those on the outskirts far more frequently than those closer to the epicenter. As the nearest and most trained officer of the group, Gimedin immediately took charge.
"Come on, laddie, you're with me. That fulcrum creature's obviously put our king under some kind of witchcraft. We're gonna break him out if it's the last thing we do. I'm gonna rush at Fulcrum and try and knock him off the plinth. You grab the book, and we'll both make haste out of here."
Godric, frantically looking about for what to do, felt a hand roughly grab his shirt and begin dragging him towards the plinth the mages had just now tried to scale. Tolo, too shocked to do anything at this stage, just gazed open-mouthed as the two legionnaires fought their way towards the commotion. Next to Tolo, Six had also taken quick action, not before yelling a few choice words at Gimedin.
"You crazy dwarf! What do you think you're going to achieve with that?"
Six reached out her arms, attempting to heal the king. A bright light emanated from her fingertips, arcing towards where the king was bent down on the plinth, though it failed to reach much further than the mage had previously. Something was blocking anything from entering the vicinity of the book and the two that were conducting the ritual next to it. Not seeing anything else he could do, Godric followed through with the orders given by Gimedin. Rushing up the plinth, skipping the middle stair, Godric pulled out his grandfather's staff, hoping to knock the book off its lectern without having to touch it himself. As he grabbed the ancient wooden staff, Godric was arrested by a feeling passing through his hand and rippling through his entire body. He had passed the point at which the two mages previously had reached, before they were teleported away to random points in the room. His perspective split. He felt he was both there, standing next to the mages, while also climbing the plinth at the same time. Unsure of what to do with this strange new sensation, his plinth-climbing self rushed faster towards the book, knocking it off its plinth and slamming it shut with his left paw. Upon touching the leather-bound surface of the book, everything cut off. Things suddenly calmed for a few seconds. The screams and yells of the room died down. The cracking of the arcing beams disappeared. The duplicated sensation, him watching himself climb the plinth whilst also standing by the mages, vanished. He was himself again, just Godric. Then there was a sudden flash, and Godric found himself standing in the middle of a very dark cavern. Stunned and unsure what to do, he looked about himself, trying to get his bearings. Looking up from where he was standing, Godric was greeted by the second horror of the day. Eyes. 12 eyes, all focused in on Godric. And then, in an instant, a blinding pain erupted throughout Godric's entire body. He was being disintegrated, molecule by molecule, ground into dust inside him, dropping to the floor as his guts and viscera turned to sand and blew away in the final exhale of the monster before him. Turning to ash was one of the most horrible experiences Godric had ever come across. Scratch one off. The most painful experience Godric had ever had. Godric was just pondering what would happen to the pile of ash that was him. Would the monster eat it up, or would someone come along and tidy up the cavern, brushing his ashes away into a nearby pool or hole in the floor? It wasn't until he started picturing this hole in the ground that Godric realized he was still thinking. Dead people didn't think, as far as he knew. And Godric was definitely thinking. He opened his eyes. He hadn't known he'd had them shut. He didn't even know he had eyes anymore. Hadn't they turned to dust like the rest of him? He distinctly remembered his eyeballs falling from his skull and breaking on the floor in front of him. So, he wasn't dead. He had eyes. And come to think of it, he was lying on the ground. Now that his eyes were open, he should be looking at the sky. There was somewhat of a blue tint to the thing that he was looking at. Now that he thought about it more, what was he lying on? He felt around with his fingers. He knew that feeling. Grass? Was there grass in the afterlife? So, to recap, he wasn't dead. He had eyes. He was looking up at a blue-tinted thing and lying on grass. Where had he found himself? Would someone turn up at some point and explain to him what the hell was going on? Deciding wherever he was couldn't possibly be good, Godric shut his eyes again. He refused to engage with it, this new reality he found himself in. If he closed his eyes again, maybe he could return to the pile of ash he once was. A few more moments passed, and boredom began to set in. Was the afterlife supposed to be boring? Cracking one eye open again, Godric waved his paw in front of his face. That was definitely his paw. It seemed he was still the Leodin he once was. Reluctantly, Godric cracked open the other eye. He looked to his left and looked to his right. Nothing but more grass. He turned his head slightly and gave a small sniff. It smelt like grass. Deciding that ordinary grass couldn't hurt him, Godric opened his eyes further and sat up.